Our first week, we talked about experiencing the passion, making it personal, what that was all about. Last week, we talked about, is Jesus truly the Son of God? Is he God? And this morning, we want to talk about, is Jesus Christ the only way to God? Is he the only way? True or false? I'm using some information that I've gathered from Lee Strobel, who wrote The Case of the Christ and The Case for Easter, some great insight that he has. Also, some information from Brian Mavis. Let me just start by saying that Jesus often surprised people with teachings that would cut across the grain of human nature. He said things like, lose your life to save it. He said things like, the first will be last. The meek will inherit the earth. Rejoice in persecutions. Pray for your enemies. It's better to give than receive. Turn the other cheek. Incredible statements he made that man had never heard before, totally contrary to the culture in which Jesus Christ was born. But by far, the most outrageous assertion that Jesus ever made, his most politically incorrect claim of all, was when he declared, 1 John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This claim rankles people like no other. This claim gets under people's skins like no other claim that you can think of. It's been called arrogant, narrow-minded, bigoted, snobbish. But I believe that Jesus Christ was telling the truth when he said that. And I believe he said it out of great compassion, not out of arrogance. And I believe that when we look closer at this statement makes ultimate sense. In fact, I believe this single sentence is without a doubt one of the most critically important bits of information on this planet, and to you personally and to me personally. This statement is probably more important than any other statement that you will ever hear. So if that's true, then why is this statement so controversial? One reason is that it strikes at the core of three great myths about religion. And so as we examine this statement, I thought it would be a good idea to address these three common misconceptions. And maybe these are myths that you heard, or maybe these are myths that you might believe right now. We need to deal with them, okay? Number one, first myth. When you get right down to it, all religions are basically the same. All religions are basically the same. You've probably heard people say that. Although there are surface-level distinctions between the various world religions, if you strip them all down, they say, to their bare essentials, all religions fundamentally teach the same thing. So it doesn't really matter which one that you follow. In other words, what they're saying is that all spiritual paths lead up the same mountain, because all religions basically teach the brotherhood and sisterhood of men and women and the universal fatherhood of God, so everything is cool. Now, there is some common ground between many of the world's religions, particularly concerning certain basic values and when we talk about morality. But there are very significant differences. In fact, with this one outlandish assertion, Jesus boldly puts Christianity in a separate class by itself. If the path to God, let's have a supposition here. If the path to God is through Jesus Christ, then Christianity cannot be reconciled with any other religion. The uniqueness of Christianity is rooted in the uniqueness of Jesus himself. It is not a philosophy. It is not some kind of intellectual pursuit. Christianity is based, its root, its foundation is the person of Jesus Christ. Someone once noted that other religious leaders say, follow me and I'll show you how to find the truth. But Jesus said, I am the truth. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I'll show you the way to salvation. But Jesus said, I am the way to eternal life. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I'll show you how to become enlightened. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Do you see the difference? Other religious leaders say, follow me and I'll show you many doors that lead to God. Jesus said, I am the door. Then Jesus finally says, so follow me. Do you see the difference? For a long time, people have attempted to harmonize the various religions of the world. And there are drastic and irreconcilable differences between Christianity and other religious beliefs. Every other religion that I have seen is based on people doing something through struggling, through striving to somehow earn the favor of God. They say people have to use a Tibetan prayer wheel or go on pilgrimages or give alms to the poor or avoid eating certain foods or pray in a specific way or go through a series of reincarnations or whatever. We're not there yet, Brian, but that's okay. They saw it. They are the attempts of people to reach out to God. It's okay. It works. But Jesus Christ is reaching out to us. Jesus taught the opposite of what other religions teach. He said, nobody can do anything to merit heaven. So we might as well give up trying. He said, we're all guilty of wrongdoing, and that's consistent with our experience, isn't it? Nobody in this room, I don't know all of you, but the ones that I know, you couldn't claim this. Nobody in this room claims to be perfect. And Jesus said that our wrongdoing separates us from a holy and a perfect God because of choices we've made, things that we've done, that separates us from this holy God. And again, that is consistent with our experience. Haven't you ever felt totally separated or disconnected from God? Of course you have. Because God, hear me, God is a righteous judge. Our wrongdoing has to be paid for. So out of his love, Jesus voluntarily offered himself as our substitute to pay the penalty that we owed for our sins. And when we receive his sacrifice on our behalf, we become reunited with God for eternity. As we say around here, here's the slide, and it was good to put it up then. It was probably better. Brian, you did good. You know me. All right. Other religions. This is how you spell other religions. D-O. Do. That's how you spell them. Because they teach that people have to do a bunch of religious rituals or try to please God. But Christianity is not spelled D-O. Let me show you how Christianity is spelled. Christianity is spelled D-O, but then it goes on beyond that, N-E. Other religions are spelled D-O, do. Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E, done. Because Jesus Christ has done it all on the cross, and all we have to do is receive him. Do you see the difference? If you just understand that, get that down, get that inside, the difference between every other religion and Christianity is do or done. All I have to, my response is simply to receive what he has already done for me because he completed it on the cross. He rose from the dead to confirm it. So it's taken care of. Now, this distinction is starkly demonstrated by comparing a parable taught by Jesus with a similar story found in Buddhist literature. Both stories involve sons who became rebellious and left home, but who then saw the error of their ways and decided to come back and be reconciled with their families. In the Buddhist story, the errant son is required to work off the penalty for his past misdeeds by serving years and years of servitude. But you know how the Christian parable of the prodigal son ends? With the repentant son being warmly welcomed home by his loving father and being given undeserved grace and undeserved forgiveness. And there are other fundamental differences between Christianity and other world religions as well. For instance, Christianity says there's one eternal God who created the universe. Hinduism says everything is God. You're God, I'm God, the stool is God, everything is God. Islam denies Jesus was God or that he died for our sins. Buddha may not even have believed in God. You need to understand, guys, these beliefs can not all be true at the same time because they contradict each other too thoroughly. So you cannot just say all religions will lead to God when they contradict each other. It just doesn't work. So all religions are not the same. And while other religious leaders can offer wise sayings and helpful insights, only Jesus Christ, because he is the perfect Son of God, is qualified to offer himself as payment for our wrongdoing. No other religious leader even pretended to be able to do that. Not one of them said they could do that. And that makes sense, doesn't it? It's illogical to think that God would go over to one side of the world and tell people, here's the way to be reconciled with me, and then go over to another place and say, no, here's a completely contradictory way to please me, and so forth. I mean, God isn't schizophrenic. He provided a way, and he made it very clear, and he made no loopholes in that way. And God is not schizophrenic, so he didn't say, this is the way to Christians, and this is the way to Buddhists, and this is the way in another place in the world, because he would not do that. He made it very, very, very clear. It would make sense that he would provide a path for us to follow in finding him, and that he would tell us about the path in an extraordinary manner, which he did by sending his own son into our human history. So, friends, it does matter which spiritual journey you follow. Jesus' own words dispel the myth that all paths lead to God. He said, I am the way. He didn't say a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The second myth that Jesus dispels is related to the first. This myth says that even though Christianity might be different, it's still just one philosophy among many, and that it's only as valid as any other religion. In other words, if there are really differences between religions, they all have some equal claim to truth. You have your truth, I have mine. Now, this myth has a certain amount of appeal because on the surface, it seems to reflect our pluralistic attitudes in this country. Because that's how we want to be. We want to be tolerant of other views, don't we? The Bible tells us we should be loving and respectful and accepting toward all people regardless of their faith. But here's the thing. Under our Constitution, all religious viewpoints are equally protected. People can believe whatever they want, but some people jump to the erroneous conclusion that because different philosophies are equally protected, they must be equally valid. And that just isn't the case. The concept behind what the Supreme Court has called our marketplace of ideas is that truth and falsehood will grapple in unhindered debate so that in the end truth will prevail. So even though all religions are equally protected under our Constitution, that has nothing to do with whether they are based on truth or not. Let me give you an example in honor of the late Mike Royko. A few years ago, Royko wrote a tongue-in-cheek column in which he said he was a member of the Church of Asylumism. He said, this church believes that there was an advanced civilization in a distant galaxy millions of years ago. But a few hundred of these aliens ate some tainted veggie dip and a virus scrambled their brains. When treatment failed, they were taken to an uninhabited planet that would serve as an asylum and where they could roam free and act goofy. That planet, he said, was Earth. And we are all descendants of these aliens. And Royko said to his doubters, you want proof? Read history books? Look at the newspaper and TV news? Tell me this isn't one big loony bin. Now, Royko in this article, he was kidding about the Church of Asylumism. All right? But in this country, people have the right to believe whatever they want. The Church of Asylumism would be protected under our Constitution as much as any other religious institution. But that doesn't mean that it validates its teachings as true. Are you following me? And of course, this means that everybody is free to make the claim, as Jesus did, that they are the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody can come to God except through them. I could say it, you could say it, but it wouldn't make it true, right? You could get up and say, no, wait a minute. I am the way to God. You must come to me to find him. You can make that statement. You can put it in the newspapers. You can go on television. You can go on Leno, whatever you want to do, and make that claim, but it doesn't make it true. The question is, how do we know Jesus was telling the truth? He made the claim. I could have made the claim. You could have made the claim. How do we know he was telling the truth? Well, Jesus backs up his claim with unique credentials that make him uniquely credible. For instance, Jesus authenticated his claim of being God by fulfilling dozens of 300, actually, century-old prophecies against every mathematical odd. We talked about that last week. These prophecies were like a thumbprint that only the Messiah would be able to fit. And in all of history, it only fits one man, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'll refer to just one of the prophecies Jesus fulfilled. If you saw Mel Gibson's film, The Passion of the Christ, you saw Judas throw his betrayal fee of 30 shekels into the temple. That was a fulfillment of prophecy made hundreds of years prior to that. See, unlike other religious leaders, Jesus performed great miracles that further authenticated his claim of being God. And in the most spectacular demonstration of his deity, Jesus fulfilled his own prediction by being resurrected from the dead in an historical event that was witnessed by over 500 people and which sparked a spiritual revolution unparalleled in history. Think about it. Jesus Christ rose from the dead to confirm that his statement, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that event was witnessed by 500 people at one point. It sparked a spiritual revolution that continues to build today. And millions and millions and millions of people have come to the cross of Jesus Christ and received what he did. Think about it. Friends, hear me. Christianity is not just a philosophy. It's a reality. Jesus Christ didn't just claim he was the one and only Son of God, but he validated his claim like nobody else in history. So the first myth, that all religions are basically the same, isn't true, because Jesus Christ's teaching set Christianity apart from all other faiths. The second myth, that Christianity is just one philosophy among many and only as valid as any other religion, isn't true, because the unique credibility of Jesus Christ validates him like no other spiritual leader. In other words, when he claims to be the way to God, his credentials back him up. The third myth is the one that says Christians are narrow-minded or snobbish when they say Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, I'd agree Christians would be acting in a narrow-minded way if there really were lots of paths to God and they were saying that theirs is the best way. But they're not saying that. They are saying that the truth of the matter is that someone has to pay for the penalty for our obvious wrongdoing that has kept us away from God. And Jesus, by virtue of his sinlessness and deity, is the only one qualified to be our substitute. That's just the reality of the situation. And it's not narrow-minded to act upon the evidence and pursue truth. Let me draw you an analogy. I heard the story of a couple who had a baby girl that developed jaundice shortly after birth. Jaundice is a liver disorder that caused her skin and the whites of her eyes to turn yellow. The pediatrician told them that this is a potentially devastating disease, but it's easily treated. All they had to do was to put the baby under special light for a while, and this would stimulate her liver properly, and she would be all right. Now, the parents could have said, "That sounds too easy. How about instead, if we scrubbed her with soap, dipped her in bleach? If we worked hard enough, I'm sure we could get her normal coloring back." But the doctor would have said, no, there is only one way to handle this disease. They could have replied, "Well, how about if we just sort of ignore this and pretend everything is okay? You know, the jaundice is your truth, doc, not our truth. And if we sincerely believe that things will work out best for us, it'll be okay." The doctor would have said, "You'd jeopardize your baby if you did that. Look, there's only one way to cure your child. You're hesitant because it sounds too easy. But look at the credentials that are hanging on my wall. I've studied. I've used what I've learned to cure countless babies like yours. Trust me. Now, hear me. Would anybody accuse those parents of being narrow-minded if they trusted that doctor and pursued the only course of treatment that was going to cure their little girl? Think about it. That's not narrow-minded. That's acting rationally in accordance with the evidence. Well, we all have a terminal illness called sin. And the reason we cling to Christ is because he's the great physician who has the only cure. We can try to scrub away our sin with good deeds, but it won't work. We can ignore it and hope that it goes away, but it won't. We can sincerely think that there's another way in dealing with it, but we'd be sincerely wrong. The truth is that the great physician offers a treatment that will erase our stain of sin. When we turn to him, we are not being narrow-minded. We're acting rationally in accordance with the evidence. And it's not snobbish to believe that what Jesus taught about being the way to God, because frankly, Christianity is anything but snobbish. Let's pretend there are two country clubs. The first one admits people who have earned membership. To get in, you have to obtain superior wisdom or fulfill a list of demands and fulfill certain spiritual requirements. Despite their best efforts, lots of people just don't make the grade, and they're going to be excluded from this country club. Friends, that's what other religions are saying by teaching that people have to work their way to God. But the second country club says this: anybody who wants to come in and join can come in because Jesus has already paid for your membership. He wrote the check. He paid for your membership in this country club. Rich or poor, black or white, regardless of your ethnic heritage or where you live, we would love to include you. Entry isn't based on your qualifications, but only on accepting Jesus Christ's invitation. So we'll leave the matter to you. You decide. But remember, we will never turn you away if you seek admittance. That's what Christianity is like. Now hear me. Which country club is being snobbish? Christians aren't putting on airs. We aren't saying we're better than anyone else. As one Christian said, we're just beggars telling other beggars where to find food. Friends, Christianity is unique. It can't be reconciled with any other religion. And it backs up its truth claims with the credentials and credibility of Jesus Christ. And that's why when he said he is the way, the truth, and the life, history hasn't laughed. Instead, history has been absolutely revolutionized. We may be asking, what about those people in those isolated places and who haven't had a chance to hear about Jesus? What's going to happen to them? This is one of the most commonly asked questions, isn't it, about Christianity? And frankly, we don't have the complete answer. God hasn't explicitly told us all that we'd like to know about this. But we do know a few things. First of all, we know from the Bible that everybody has a moral standard written on their hearts by God, and that everybody is guilty of violating that standard. That's why our conscience bothers us when we do something wrong. Because God has given us that moral standard there. Second, we know that everybody has enough information from observing the world to know that God exists. But people have suppressed that and rejected God anyway, for which we rightfully deserve eternal separation from God. Read Romans chapter 1. It'll explain a lot of that to you. But we also know from the Bible that those who sincerely seek God will find him. In fact, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is seeking us first, making it possible for us to seek God. And this suggests to me that people around the world who respond to the understanding that they have and who earnestly seek after the one true God will find an opportunity in some way to receive the eternal life that God has graciously provided through Jesus Christ. If we don't tell them, God will somehow. There has never been a person born on the face of this planet that God has not revealed the truth of the Messiah before the cross, that he was coming, and after the cross, that he came. Somehow he did that. There's a great book, Peace Child, written several years ago. If you get a copy of it, this is about a tribe that when missionaries finally get there, their belief system was the gospel. Not totally understanding it or realizing what it was, but it was the gospel. Incredible how God had done that. It's a great book. I don't know if it's still in print or not, but you might find it. If not, I probably have a copy of it. I have all the old books. I'll run off copies and charge you just a slight fee for that. Not true. There's something else that's reassuring too, which is that God is absolutely, scrupulously fair. Genesis 18:25 asks, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" It's comforting for me to know that each person will be judged uniquely and justly according to what they knew and what they did. After being judged by a loving and righteous God, not one person will be able to walk away claiming that he or she has been treated unfairly, irresponsible for the truth that we have. So we wonder about the native over there, you know, and we do our best to explain that God will deal with them and reveal truth to them, but don't get distracted. You're responsible for you. You've heard the truth. You saw the truth as you watched the movie, The Passion of the Christ. You've heard the truth as you've come the last several weeks, man. You've heard the truth. Have you gone to church where they preach the Word of God, man? You're hearing the truth this morning of who Jesus Christ is, man. We know that apart from the payment that Jesus made on the cross, nobody has a chance of getting off of death row, man. But exactly how much detailed information a person has to know about Jesus or precisely where the lines are drawn, only God knows. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:5 that only God can expose the motives of a person's heart. And finally, nobody will be excluded from heaven solely based on the fact that he or she lacked some information. The reason people will be denied admittance is because they have told God their entire life that they can live just fine without him. And on judgment day, God will say, based on your own decision to live separately from me, you will now spend eternity apart from me. God will not violate our will even after we die. And that's only fair. Are you following me? We will spend eternity based upon our choice. And if we have chosen all of our life not to receive him, he won't violate that after we die. based upon our choice. You chose to live apart from me your life, you will live apart from me for eternity. However, no matter at what point we choose to accept what he did, at no matter what age, we'll be involved in his kingdom for eternity, and we will spend eternity living with him. But for you and me, the issue isn't ignorance. It's obedience. We've heard what Christ has to say even today. We have access to the evidence, and it's clear we're responsible for our decision on how we respond. Some of you need to respond today in your search for truth so you can eventually make a knowledgeable decision to follow Jesus Christ. But according to a survey, if you are among the 84% of Americans who already believe Jesus is God, then maybe it's time you finally acted on that belief. It's not me convincing you that Jesus is God or that he's the only way. 84 in a survey, Barna survey, they said 84% of Americans believe that Jesus Christ is God. That may be really high, but that's what the survey said. If you are amongst that, isn't it time that you acted on that belief? Just believing that he is God isn't enough. What does it involve? Believing on that. Let me paint a picture in conclusion here by reading a story. This story is told by, this was written by Lee Strobel, personal experience. Let me read it to you. When I was 14 years old, I was home alone and painting with oil paints in the finished basement of our house in Arlington Heights. Now, if you've ever painted with oils, then you know that they take forever to dry. I was impatient, so I did something stupid. I plugged in some heat lamps to try to dry the paintings faster. Before long, a fire broke out among the rags soaked with turpentine on the table, and entire corner of the basement was immediately engulfed in flames. I ran to the phone and called the fire department. When I returned, I saw that the fire was out of control, with orange and yellow flames climbing the paneled walls and lapping the ceiling, which was directly beneath the living room. I knew that if the fire burned through, the whole house would be destroyed, and then I'd really be in trouble. So I grabbed a bucket of water from the laundry room and dashed over to throw it on the fire, but that didn't help very much. The basement was rapidly filling with black, sooty smoke. I started choking on the fumes and was becoming disoriented, and I couldn't see the stairs anymore. The lights went out and the smoke was just too thick. That's when a horrible realization hit. I couldn't save myself. I wouldn't be able to find the route of the basement before I would be totally overcome. Fortunately, not long after that, a police officer arrived and opened the door to the basement. He stepped onto the stairs and began shining around a big flashlight. "Police officer," he called. "On anyone down there?" Now, intellectually, I could have analyzed the situation. Things were serious in the basement. If I stayed down there much longer, I'd die from the smoke of fire. But the police officer knew the one and only escape route. He was a trained professional and fully capable of leading me to safety. What's more, he held a big flashlight to illuminate the way for me. But it wasn't enough just to analyze the situation. I had to take a step of action. I had to put my faith in that police officer, a faith based on facts, by letting him reach out and rescue me. So I followed the light. He put his arm around me and led me to safety away from the inferno. Many years later, I faced a spiritually equivalent situation. After nearly 2 years of investigating the claims of Jesus, I knew he had unique credentials and credibility. And based on what he had said, I realized for the first time that I couldn't save myself. Unless I took up Jesus on his offer to pay the penalty for my wrongdoing, I was going to remain separated from God forever. I was hopelessly lost, but Jesus was calling to me and reaching out to rescue me. He was fully capable of leading me to safety. He knew the way to eternal life. In fact, he was the way. He didn't need a flashlight because he said, "I am the way. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But it wasn't enough just to know that. I had to act on it. I had to take a step of faith, not an irrational step, but as this entire, as the movie showed and what I've talked about today, a rational step that was firm and secure because it was based on the track record of Jesus' trustworthiness. And so on November 8th, 1981, I allowed Jesus to drape his arm around my shoulder and lead me out of the darkness, away from danger, and into a place of safety forever. End quote. Stand with me, would you please? If you are a part of the 84% of Americans who are convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's a great first step. But if you have never acted on that belief, then the truth is you're still in danger. Let Jesus put his arm around you, rescue you, lead you to safety once and for all. And before your head hits the pillow tonight, tell him in a prayer that that's the desire of your heart. We're going to pray in a moment here also, but confirm it when you're alone. And when you do, and as you begin to grow in your relationship with him, you'll find out what I have found out and millions of others have found out, that Jesus is the way. He is the pathway to a lifetime of adventure, a lifetime of fulfillment, a lifetime of challenge, a lifetime of purpose. You will discover also that he is the truth, and he will provide you with wisdom, and that wisdom will work every day in your life and for the turbulent times that are ahead as well, because he is that truth. And you will also discover that he is the life, that he and he alone can give you life, can give you confidence for your future, and can give you confidence for all eternity. I discovered that, and it changed my eternity. It changed my future. It changed my concept of life. It changed the way that I live. See, I used to live in a way that I was intimidated and scared to death of my past. That if my past caught up with me, I would be destroyed and nobody would accept me if my past was revealed. At the same time, I lived in constant fear of the future because I was raised in a Christian home, and I knew that this wasn't all there was. I knew that there was something beyond this life. I knew that one day it'd be over, and I was scared to death of the future because of my past, and so that contained my present. I was not able to live in the present tense because of the fear of my past and the fear of the future. And one day, I realized that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And I invited him to come into my life. And the moment he came into my life, man, and it's been a process for over 40 years now, but the moment he came into my life, I knew my past was taken care of. I knew that it was covered. Oh, there were things I had to do. There were things I had to take care of. There was restitution that had to be made for me. There was confessions that had to happen in relationships and things. But the guilt, the penalty, as far as God was concerned, was taken care of. And as soon as that was taken care of, and at the same time, the future was secure, I knew that by God's grace, I was going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Had nothing to do with my works, had nothing to do with my righteousness, had nothing to do with my talents or abilities or goodness. It had everything to do with what Jesus Christ said about himself, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And he gave me a future. I was no longer afraid of the past, no longer fear of the future. I was free to live in the present. The bondages came off. The shackles came off my feet. The handcuffs came off my hands. The tape came off of my mouth. I was free to walk and go where he wanted me to go and use these hands to do what he wanted me to do and to speak the truth he wanted me to speak. I couldn't do that before. But Jesus Christ came into my life and set me free. I believed he was God forever, but I never made it personal, man. If you're here this morning and you haven't acted on that truth, you're still in a lot of trouble. says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It doesn't say you'll know about the truth or hear truth. It says you shall know the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. When you know the truth, Jesus Christ, then you're set free. Not just knowing about truth. If you've not acted upon that truth, my friend, I'm going to ask you to do that this morning real quick. Just kind of bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, and I'm not trying to make it a trippy thing. It's just, I know in my heart that God is going to send people to every service today and through this whole series, and maybe till he comes, that don't know him, and he's giving you an opportunity to know him. You think you're here because somebody invited you. You think you're here because of a circumstance or whatever. You're visiting somebody. You're here because Jesus Christ set this day up to let you know that he loves you. He wants you to spend eternity with him. How does everybody get to know the truth? We talked about the people in foreign lands. All I know is he set it up for you to hear the truth, didn't he? So he set it up for everybody to hear the truth. And he wants you to hear it this morning. If you've not received Christ, if you've not acted on the truth that you know he is the way, maybe you've had some of these questions we've talked about. Maybe you've lived in some of these myths. You need to move on beyond that today and act on what you know and come to Jesus. Just like Strobel said in his story, I could have analyzed the whole situation, but until I acted and cried out to the policeman to save me, I would have died in that fire. Until you act upon that, you're still in a lot of trouble. If you've not acted upon that truth, my friend, just you, nobody else, please, lift up your eyes, your head, let our eyes meet, lift up your hand. I want to do this quickly. By that you're saying, Pastor Chuck, I want to know Jesus. Just lift up your hand. God bless you, man. Others, God bless you guys. God bless both of you. Anybody else? Real quick. You say, I don't understand all of this, Chuck, but I know that I need Jesus. Yes, ma'am. Welcome to the family of God. Anybody else? Real quick. This is your day. Today is a day of salvation. You came because you're seeking truth. Jesus Christ is revealing himself to you. Anybody else? Real quick, besides these. I don't want to prolong this. Yeah, honey. Welcome to the family. Anybody else? Real quick. If I missed you, just kind of wave it. You okay? This is your chance. Don't walk by, man. Oh, you can pray later. You can do it later. But, man, nobody knows if we have a later or not. This is your chance. Receive him this morning. Anybody else? Oh, he loves you. He loves you so much. That's why he brought you here, because he loves you. He wants you to spend eternity with him. It has nothing to do with how you've lived or what your past is all about. He loves you so much. He knows when your life is over, and he set this up, he loves you so much, he wants you to have eternity with him in heaven. Anybody else? Real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. We agree together now. I want to pray this prayer together. Pray this with me. Whether you lifted your hand or not, everybody pray it. But whether you lifted your hand or not and you mean it, pray this. Would you invite Jesus Christ into your life? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I admit I'm a sinner. I don't understand everything, but I know there's a void in my life. I know that I need you. I believe that you're the way. I believe that you're the truth. I believe that you're the life. I believe that you died in my place. And I come to you this morning and invite you to come into my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing away my guilt. Thank you for writing my name in your book, the book of life, and it will be there for eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Break every bondage. Set me free to walk with you. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand, would you? We're going to close with this song, Jesus, You Are. And you know, if you made a decision this morning, we'd love to talk to you. talking to us won't change anything. You made a decision, but we want to share some stuff with you. I'm not trying to get you to join this church. We want you to have a membership, okay? We're not going to write your name down, send you stuff or anything. We just want to pray with you and get you started on your walk with Jesus. We got some Bibles. We'd love to give you new believers Bibles that'll help you and so forth. Answer some of your questions. We're here for that. We just want to be a part of the decision you made. It helps to confirm that. Either come up and talk with one of the guys and gals up here or share with somebody you came with. Tell somebody, hey, I prayed to receive Jesus Christ today. You need to say that to somebody today because it'll solidify your decision and get you started on your walk with Jesus Christ. But share that with somebody today, would you? We'd love to talk with you. Let's close with this song.